Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you. James Hamm is there. That's James Hamm of the Kings Beat. Kingsbeat.com, the Kings Beat podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Kyle Madsen, Candlestick Chronicles, available wherever you get your podcasts, and NinersWire.com. That's where you can find my writing. Joe Brazil is also here, the ESPN 1320 newsletter guy.
Yeah, yes, I love that. Absolutely.
You're welcome.
We're new graphics insiders. Designer for the Insiders.
Oh, yeah, new graphics guy.
There you go. Right?
Check out the ESPN 1320 Instagram page. Going to be some new stuff going up. Shout out to Joe. And shout out to Jiffy Lube. They sponsor this program. We're hanging out with you until noon. And then D'Lo and KC will take over, and they will take you into the weekend, 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. Fun night in the NBA last night, specifically the two national TV games. Grizzlies Heat, really, really good game, featuring a game winner from Ja Morant. Warriors Lakers, back and forth, bunch of haymakers at the beginning. Lakers didn't play particularly well, I didn't think, down the stretch. But then the final 4.5 minutes, it was just trading threes, trading big shots, contested threes, just incredible shot making late in that game. But Golden State pulls out a game they needed to win. Had Golden State lost last night, so they won to move to within a game of the 4 seed and a game and a half of the 3 seed. That's the Nuggets, who the Warriors now play tonight.
Oh, boy.
So if Golden State wins tonight, they're a half game out of the 3 seed. Okay?
What? The 3 seed.
Yes. Had they lost last night, they would currently be the 8 seed. It is precarious in the West.
This is very similar to what happened last year.
Yes. Like, but last year it was like 6 through 9, right?
Well, like, yeah, but remember the Kings tumbled all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the last second, like boom, boom, boom. Like the last like 4 games, they fell from like 6 all the way out.
Yeah.
To 10. 9?
Crazy.
9. Did they host a play-in game? Okay, so 9.
It's gonna be the Warriors here.
Yeah.
So I was watching the Grizzlies last night, and this is something that we've been kind of bouncing around for the last couple of days, but when you watch Memphis last night and you take the nature of what we talked about yesterday with, you got to get rid of whatever you can get rid of for value this offseason with the Kings. I am in the camp of being pro washing your hands of whatever you can of this iteration of the Kings. And that doesn't mean give stuff away. If somebody calls and says, hey, is Domas available? Yeah, we'll give you a second. Like, you're obviously not going to do that. But if you can get value for him or Keegan Murray or DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine, I think you got to do it. But anyways, it brings Ja Morant into the conversation.
Yeah, I think it does. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have the same approach you do when it comes to, like, what a reset would look like for this team. And I'm more of the, hey, I would keep, you know, Domas, I would keep Keon, I would keep Keegan.
Sure.
And I'd build around that. Maybe Malik Monk, you know, but like in the right setting.
I don't hate that.
And everything else, and just kind of starting over from there.
Mm-hmm.
But to be honest, like everything has to be on the table when you're this bad out of nowhere.
Yep.
And so watching the decline of this team happen so quickly is bizarre. And it doesn't feel good for anybody. But, you know, the one thing I don't want to see is like more of the same next year.
I got some odds from an offshore sports book.
Okay.
I don't want to say the sports book, but I got some odds this morning. I can say the sports book. It's betonline.ag.
Okay.
Will the Grizzlies trade Ja Morant before the start of the 2025-2026 NBA season? Yes is currently minus 300. So that means to win $100, you would have to bet 300. That's how sure they are that he's being dealt.
Wow.
So it seems like a foregone conclusion that amid this reset they're doing, that Ja Morant will be moved. On the other hand, I think part of this is because of the recent flare-up of finger gun motions that have taken the league by storm.
Yes.
So here's the deal, if you missed it. In their game against Golden State on Wednesday, Ja Morant made a shot, and as he's walking back to the bench, he does like a shooting motion at the Warriors bench, kind of in the direction of Buddy Hield.
Yep.
Buddy Hield does the same thing back to Ja. They're barking at each other. The league investigates. They each get slapped with a warning. Ja Morant has been suspended twice for off-court gun-related incidents.
Gun-related incidents like waving a gun around on Instagram when you'd already been suspended just right before that for another incident where you'd got caught with a gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is a sensitive thing for Ja Morant in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, the league is trying to set a standard that we're not associating with gun culture.
Yes.
That, like, gun culture is what it is, whatever that is, that's fine. It can be its own thing.
Yes.
But we're not, as a league and as players and as teams, going to associate with gun culture.
Yes. If that's going to be something that you're going to do in your private time, you always represent the league. Don't have it on Instagram. Don't be out there putting it on social media. If you want to go to the range and you want to be a hunter and you want to do all that stuff, great. The league doesn't want the faces of their sport being part of that. So that's their choice as the National Basketball Association. So this is a sensitive thing, specifically with Ja Morant in the league. Ja Morant last night in a game against the Miami Heat does his finger guns again. And got hit with a $75,000 fine. This is where, because on the surface, the idea of acquiring Ja Morant from a basketball perspective just makes sense. Like, if you're looking to do a quick turnaround and a quick revamp, what can you do to keep Domantas Sabonis, Keon Ellis, and Keegan Murray and bring in Ja Morant? Because that's ostensibly like a very quick reset of, okay, we can be competitive now.
Yeah, yeah, and I think
he's that good of a player.
He is that good of a player, and we're predicating this off the fact that, you know, again, I think this all started not with Joe and Elk Grove, although we'll give Joe and Elk Grove
salute
credit.
To Joe and Elk Grove. He's way ahead of the curve.
It's clear that on off-site betting, I mean, out of the country betting systems are listening to the insiders for more information from 100%. Joe from Elk Grove. But it started with Howard Beck on a podcast where he threw it out there. Oh, well, I've been hearing that there's a good possibility that Memphis could move on from Ja Morant this summer. Like, look, this is an extremely talented player. And if you watch him play, the player you instantly like are reminded of is De'Aaron Fox. Like, he has shooting issues just like De'Aaron Fox. But when he gets downhill, he's one of the most exciting players that there is in the league.
He's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's even more of an above-the-rim finisher than Fox and, you know, like slightly better vertical athlete
than
Fox.
And the way he gets horizontal and how quickly he does it to go around defenders where he's not even drawing contact because he's going around the defender is ridiculous, dude.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. A couple of things. Number one, he gets injured a lot.
I think he's played more than 67 games one time.
Yeah, so that's trouble. And it's usually some pretty dramatic injuries from falling. Mm-hmm. Like, he's had quite a few because he is such a super athlete. Mm-hmm. And you do worry about, like, whether he'll break down quickly. Mm-hmm. But I think the same can always be said when the Kings had Fox and, And I mean, the Kings should be thinking about the same thing when it comes to a guy like Zach LaVine, who's already had two catastrophic injuries.
So he played 67 games as a rookie in 2019-20. Mm-hmm. 63 the following year. That was the 72-game season. Then 57, 61, 9, and he's played 47 games this year. Mm. This is where when you factor that in, and then you factor in with this whole finger gun thing, I got into this argument with somebody last night. It's not the gesture necessarily itself that's the problem. I am not offended personally by this.
No.
It does not bother me. You see NFL players do it. You see NBA players do it. Mikal Bridges does it, but he spreads the three fingers out, the thumb, the middle finger, and the index finger, and he spreads them out like this so it more looks like a three than a firearm. So, okay.
We used to have, like, even Wes Matthews does the bow and arrow.
Yeah. That doesn't bother me, and I don't know that that's what bothers the league. I think what bothers the league here, and the problem I have, is Ja Morant was told not to do a thing. Mm-hmm. Whether that's finger guns, whether that's wearing a wristband. Yeah, you can't do the throat slit motion with the thumb.
Yep.
Whether it's wearing a wristband on his leg. I don't know. I'm picking things. I don't know if these are real or not. Wearing a headband. Whatever it is, the league said, hey, don't do that thing anymore, dude. There's going to be consequences if you do this thing. And then he goes and does the thing. In the very next game, he received no punishment and then went to hell with that. And now he's gotten slapped with a $75,000 fine. It's not, again, I care less about the motion that mm-hmm. he's doing and more about his unwillingness to go, okay, this is the rule of the league that I'm playing in. I will follow this rule.
There's a clear disconnect with him when it comes to just basics.
Yes.
That you work for a gigantic multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Yes.
That's what you're working, like, here at Odyssey, there are certain things that we're not allowed to do on the radio, that we're not allowed to say on social media.
Correct.
There are certain things that we have, like, very basic parameters. Mm-hmm. It's just like anybody else.
Yep.
And for him not to get it, is probably one of the more frustrating things for the league.
It's a huge red flag.
Yeah, it's a gigantic red flag because this isn't the first time. It's not the second time. We're talking about like the fifth, sixth offense for him to do things that just, hey, look, if you're going to play in our league, you're going to have to follow these rules. Now, saying all of that, if I'm the Kings, I'm still interested. Like,
gotta have interest.
I'm still like, okay, like what would that look like? Mm-hmm. Because if Memphis is a team that I don't know if they're going to blow it up as much as they are going to retool and go mm-hmm. just in a different direction. We even saw it at the trade deadline where they got rid of contracts of like Marcus Smart to get under the cap lower. I mean, people forget Marvin Bagley's hiding on their bench as like cap filler from a trade. So like, look, if that's what if you're going to find a way to go get him, like, I'm not totally opposed to it, but if you are going to make that move, it has to come with certain, like, basics. Like, hey, like, we need you to follow some basic mm-hmm. rules here and to stop with the nonsense of that.
Yeah.
Because it's really unfortunate, and I think it hurts his team every time. Like, mm-hmm. again, this time it's not going to hurt them financially. They won a game, but you're just, like, everyone in the room is looking at him like, what are we doing? Like, yeah. why are we doing this? Like, why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. So I almost feel like we need to be creative and give him new things that he can do that aren't gun related. So, okay. Yeah.
You ever try to hula hoop, Ja?
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're in the chatty house or you're out there and you want to call in and give an idea of what he can do, like, he could do, like, the Ross and Monica. Like, you don't even know what that is because that's from... From Friends, yeah.
I'm not anti-Friends. It's just never grabbed me where I'm like, I need to watch all these.
Yeah, I mean, just like come up with something else that is not gun or knife related in your celebration. Like, yeah. Whatever you want to do.
Not that bad.
It's fine.
You get so annoyed with John, then you watch him in that second half against Miami.
Just unbelievable.
And hit the step back game winner. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he is a good, this isn't a Cam Johnson level player. where you're like, dude, not worth the headache. Like, it's just, oh.
Well, the good thing is Cam Johnson doesn't do any of this stuff.
Right,
so,
no, but yeah. I'm saying the reason you would even consider it, and the reason that I think you're right, if you're the Kings, if the Grizzlies do make Ja available, which I'm not 100% sure they're going to, because they fired Taylor Jenkins in part because he tried installing this offense that Ja didn't like.
Okay.
And they brought in the coach that they hired, Tuomas.
I think it's...
The Finnish guy.
Yeah.
I forget his last name. Or I can't pronounce his last name if I'm keeping it a stack. They bring him in, and I'm going to get his name. Hang on.
Yeah.
Tuomas Iisalo.
Okay, there
Iisalo.
You go. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tuomas Iisalo. They bring him in, and apparently, and this is what I've read on the internet, that he was a really, like, creative pick-and-roll specialist at his last coaching job.
Okay.
And Ja wants to be involved in more pick-and-rolls. That is where his superpowers are.
I would
and agree. So it makes sense why that... So if you're moving heaven and earth with 9 games to go in your season to bring in this coach to placate Ja, I have a hard time wrapping my head around you will then this offseason turn around and go, see ya! That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that that's also not going to be what happens. Like, yeah. There's a certain point, and the Kings got there with DeMarcus Cousins, where the outside stuff, it's too much.
Yeah.
And it keeps, you know, it does detract from who you are as a player, and it embarrasses your franchise and everything mm-hmm. else. Where I could see them saying, hey, at a certain point, like, we're ready to part ways. Like,
yeah.
We just keep going down the same path, and it's not getting us anywhere.
Yeah. And I think if you're Memphis, the idea of trying to move forward with this superstar and not knowing he's played 67 games once.
Yeah, that's tough.
He has been eligible for postseason awards under the new rules once.
And he's
in his
owed
career.
39, 42, and 45 over the next 3 years.
It's a lot of money for a guy that has an injury history. And has a suspension history.
And statistically peaked at 22 and has been going backwards ever since.
Which, is that because of their offense this year? And he just wasn't getting the opportunities? Or is his athleticism going to decline that quickly where you're going to kind of see this? But his ceiling is so high that I'm still kicking tires.
Oh, heck yeah.
He is that freaking good when he's on.
Yep.
And if you think you can bring this player in, and you have Keegan Murray, you have Domantas Sabonis, and you have Keon Ellis. You don't have to give up any of those guys to go get Ja Morant. I think you've got to give that a shot.
I'm with you.
But that's where I'm at. If anything else happens with Ja Morant, we'll let you know. Warriors-Lakers, ton of fun with that game last night. We might get into that. But more importantly, the Kings play tonight, and it might be the last time they're favored all year. And it might be their last win of the year, and it also might not matter for whether they make the play-in, because the Suns don't have it a lot easier. We'll talk about that coming up next. That's James Hamm. Joe Brazil is here. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Glad we're all joking about my demise on air now.
Kyle's demise.
It's like, that would be funny if you croaked on air. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you all. Everybody in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We appreciate you all if you're listening on ESPN 1320 AM. We appreciate you as well. The Oak Grove Kia talk line is 916-909-1320. 916-909-1320. We're talking about Ja Morant and whether the Kings would pursue him this offseason, or if they should pursue him this offseason in the wake of the fact that he's having a really nice run now that the Grizzlies are running a more Ja-centric offense.
Uh-huh.
He looks a lot more like the MVP caliber player we saw a few years ago. But in the wake of his finger guns incident, which just sounds ridiculous, but here we are, in his... what the league considers obscene gesture incident, he's now been hit with a $75,000 fine. And now you kind of wonder, based on his history with off court, I guess in this case, on court issues with the league, it's like, is that something you want to take on? So that's what we're discussing. And this first came up a while back with our guy, Joe in Elk Grove.
Yeah, he started this mess.
He started this whole thing.
He even threw a reporter under the bus.
He threw nationally acclaimed NBA reporter and Sacramento resident, at Sac State alum, Stingers up Sam Amick, threw him right under the bus.
ran him right over.
And then backed up and did it.
Yeah, that's right.
So we can't have this conversation without Joe in Elk Grove, who's on the Elk Grove Kia talk line now at 916-909-1320. Joe in Elk Grove, do you have anybody else you want to throw under the bus today?
No, but first of all, Kyle, did you get that play I gave you yesterday, Aaron Judge, RBI, hit, home run?
No, you didn't give us that yesterday, but that's okay.
I gave that to you yesterday.
Oh, my bad.
And the other day I gave you Butler, and I lost. Today, take Arenado, hit, RBI, okay. 10 for 23 versus Walker Buehler. Nice. Game starts in about 15 minutes.
Beauty. Love that. We're getting on the Underdog app right now. What do you got for us, Joe?
Here we go. Kings are interested in Zion Williamson and Ja Morant. If they can't get Morant, they're going to go heavy after Zion Williamson's. I got good word on that. Mr. Hamm, I should be doing your job. I'm the new Kings insider, buddy. Come on.
Yeah. Well, we're still waiting for that dinner meeting in Oklahoma City between the Foxes and the Rana Dives. Still waiting on that one, Joe.
Next home game, Mr. Hamm, I'm going to come up to you, meet you, and I'll buy you a beer at the Kings game, all right?
All right.
I love this. Hey, Joe, what's your favorite movie?
Yeah. Favorite movie? That one movie about sports betting.
Nah, all right, doesn't matter. Uncut Gems?
That was a hilarious response. He's like, I don't know, did you hear my props, though?
What about sports betting?
Something to do with sports betting.
It's got to be Uncut Gems.
I think what happened yesterday is when he came on the air we missed the first portion of what he said.
Oh, yeah, got it.
I think he had already started talking, and then by the time he got on, he was talking about something. That makes sense. What is he talking about?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess that would be on me. Sorry, Joe.
Hey, I'm gonna just assume that he meant that his favorite movie is Uncut Gems, which is an insane favorite movie to have.
You're
a real degenerate. If you're like the Adam Sandler movie where he does the sports betting, that's insane.
Kevin Garnett.
That's actually crazy.
That's so funny, man. That's hilarious.
You know Kevin Garnett, the star of Area 51? Yeah. That guy. He's in it. It's my favorite movie. Should have won an Academy Award.
Anyways, hilarious.
Now,
what he said there, first of all, Jaw is one player. And, like, look, there's enough info out there of Zion Williamson potentially being available this summer. And, again, it's just, like, a huge risk-reward player. Mm-hmm. Like, both of them are just, like, either you hit it or you don't. And
maybe the Kings are onto something here. If you get Ja and Zion, and you get, like, 50 games each from them, can you stagger their 50 games where you're getting 100 games of both of them? That's a full season and a playoff run.
Okay, so what I've heard around the team here and there is when it comes to Zion, that there are a lot of people in the league that believe that his next stop, he's going to settle in and actually, you know, move past all of the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That there's just too much residual there in New Orleans. And that New Orleans feels the same way. They're worried that the second they trade Zion, he goes and becomes an MVP, and they're the team that gave away Zion.
Which I get, because when you watch him play and he's healthy, you go, man, I get it.
Yep.
He is so freaking good at basketball. But, like you said, he's played 30 games this year. He played 70 last year, and it was a monumental season.
Yeah. And we're talking about the number one and two picks in the 2019 NBA draft.
Right.
Which, again, if you went after that, like, especially, let me just set up a scenario.
Oh, please.
What if you went after both of these guys and landed both of them? But before you did that, you rehired Vlade Divac.
Oh.
And so this would be the one draft where Vlade did not have a pick because he had traded Nick Stauskas, Carl Landry, and Jason Thompson for salary dump, and it ended up being the 2019 draft where the Kings didn't have a pick. And now you go and get the number one and number two pick from that draft that you never got to partake in.
I love this. It's just a redemption season for Vlade and the Kings.
It's a redemption everything. Yep.
I think there would be riots if they rehired Vlade.
Well,
I don't think anyone wants that. Did you see he was at the Laker game last night with Luka's dad?
Yeah.
Oof.
Vlade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough look for our guy.
That's what I love about Vlade. Dog. He just doesn't
read
care.
The room.
He just doesn't care. He doesn't care about perception or anything else. Even, you know, the we had a better deal 2 days ago thing. He's honest to a fault. And covering him as a front office personnel, there were a lot of good times. He's a very, very funny dude.
Amicable person.
He's extremely honest. Like, he will tell you straight up why he made the Marvin Bagley pick, and it's not as nearly as complicated as people want it to be. Like, there's a lot to it. Either way, a very, very good human being. Intentions are there.
I have no doubt, dude.
Yeah.
I have zero doubt about it. I just don't think he's a good NBA GM. I think there's a lot of people that feel
that.
Anyways. Salute to the Stockton Kings, by the way. On to the conference finals.
Ooh.
Yeah, our guy Bryce making fun of me because I think his name's John Elmore. Looks vaguely like me.
That was the dude
in that he's a pasty white guy who's bald. When you bald, you're Kyle Madsen.
Hey. I brought Elmore up 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I don't.
Yeah, it was very brief, but I was like, dude, there's this guy, John Elmore, and I didn't mention that he looked like you. May or may not.
You were thinking it.
I don't know, but That's fine. It's because he did really well that game, so shout out John Elmore.
Oh, yeah. He had 12 points last night in Stockton's win.
Yep.
Good for the Stockton Kings. Not so good for the Sacramento Kings. They're currently the number 10 seed. They're a game back of the number 9 seed Mavericks and a game up on the number 11 seed Phoenix Suns. The Kings are in Charlotte tonight to take on the Hornets in what might be the last game of the year that they're favored in.
Yeah, I'm going to guess it is the last game. Well, I mean, it's possible that the finale against the Suns, they'll be favored. But, yeah. I mean, we don't know whether Kevin Durant will be back or not by that point. We have no idea.
No clue what the Suns are doing.
Yeah, the Suns are a hot mess, just like the Kings are.
So let's lay out some scenarios here.
Okay.
So let's pretend for a moment. I don't know if I would bet on this because the Kings have been just a total wild card this year. But let's assume for a moment the Kings win tonight. Then they lose at Cleveland, lose at Detroit, lose to Denver, lose to the Clippers.
Okay.
Which is not out of the realm of possibilities at all.
Nope.
That puts them at 37-44, entering their season finale against the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going to 37-44. Keep that record in mind. Now we're going to flip over to the Suns side, where they have Boston, the Knicks, the Warriors, the Thunder, and the Spurs before visiting the Kings in the season finale.
Okay.
I see one win there for them, and that's the Spurs game.
Probably.
So that puts them at 36-45.
Heading into the final game.
Heading into the final game.
Okay.
So, if the Kings, if things go that way, and again, we'll follow this as it goes, but if things go that way, that would make the season finale a win and in for the Kings.
Yep.
Because they'd be a game up, they win that game, they win the number 10 seed.
Yep.
Win the number 10 seed. If they lose that game, they would be tied. They would also have the series, season series would be tied.
Yep. Okay, so it gets really complicated, Kyle. There's a way in which the two teams end with the same exact records, but they finish with the same exact records in two different ways, and the outcome is different.
What?
Okay, so they could both end at 40, what did you say, like
38 and 44, let's call it.
Okay. They could both end at 38 and 44.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way in which the Kings are in, and there's a way in which the Suns are in right now as we sit.
Right.
Right. So it with the same records.
Yes.
If they finish with the same records. So the way the tiebreakers work is number one is head-to-head.
Right.
Right. And so if the Kings were to win that final game of the season, it would give them the season series at three games to one, and they would have the tiebreaker, right? If they lose that game, they would be 2-2, and it goes to the next tiebreakers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the third tiebreaker is if you're a division leader, you get in over another team in the same conference, but with the same record. But if you're the division leader, you get in above them, right? The fourth tiebreaker goes to division record if the two teams are in the same division. And as of right now, the Suns are 9-5 in division, and the Kings are 4-10 and lose.
Ooh.
So again, if however they get there, let's say the Kings have the better record going into that final game, but the Suns win and the Suns tie them, and the season series goes to is split, then the Suns would get in on the divisional record.
But I'm looking at this. The Suns are a game back. They would have to gain two full games on the Kings in the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to have a scenario where they're ahead of Sacramento going into that game.
Okay, so as of right now, the Kings are one game ahead, right?
Right.
So let's say the Kings win one more game and then lose four, and then we head into the final game, right? So
if they win one, though, the Suns would need to win
two
of at Boston, at the Knicks, Warriors, Thunder, Spurs.
Okay.
They'd need to win two of those.
Well, let's just say they beat the Warriors and the Spurs.
Okay.
And they come into that final game.
But whatever.
Right? They come into that final game, and in that scenario, the two teams would be tied if the Kings win one game. Right? Okay. So in that, it would be a true winner take all. Like, whoever wins is going to have a better record at the end of the season, right? But if the Kings come in somehow behind the Suns in the standings on that last game,
which seems impossible.
Well, we thought it seemed impossible that they would lose to the Wizards two nights ago.
Nothing's impossible. That's
so let's say they lose to Charlotte.
Okay.
They lose to what's next? The Cavs, the Pistons, the Nuggets, and the Clippers.
Yep.
Right. Let's say they lose all the way there, and the Suns move ahead of them in the standings. So the Suns find a way to win two games.
Okay.
So they, again, beat the Spurs, and let's say they beat Golden the Warriors, State. Right? Sure. So they're up going into that final game.
Mm-hmm.
If the Kings beat them in that final game and tie with them in the standings, the Kings would go in because they would hold the head-to-head record.
3-1.
Yep. Now, let's say that the Kings are up a game going into that final game. Right. And
they
the
match
Suns,
win for loss the rest of the way.
Yeah, the Suns beat them. Mm-hmm. The Suns would go in. So same record, two totally different outcomes.
So there are just very few, that if you're listing scenarios here, there are so few scenarios, realistic ones, where that's not a win and in game for either team.
Well, yeah, I mean,
unless the Kings win one and the Suns lose all their games leading up to that.
Yeah. There is a scenario where the Blazers just win all of their games and sneak past both of them.
Okay, hang on. We did not even
there.
Look at it.
There is
I'm
a possibility.
Looking this up on the fly.
So Portland won last night. Portland is now 34-43.
They have. Oh my God. They have at Chicago, San Antonio, at Utah are their next three games.
Okay.
It is on the table that they go 3-0. In that stretch.
So that puts them at 37 wins, which the Kings right now are 36 and Phoenix is at 35.
And then they get Golden State and then they get the Lakers.
Golden State and the Lakers.
Chances are they'll both be playing for seeding at that point.
Or maybe they won't. I mean, it's possible.
But would you put it past the Lakers if they're locked into the four seed to rest a bunch of dudes on that game?
Nope. I would not. Like, I could easily see that happening.
And that puts the Blazers at 39?
Yes.
And what's the head-to-head with Sacramento?
Portland.
Sacramento got them, right? Portland won 2 out of 3.
No, they split 2-2.
Oh, yep, they sure did.
Okay, and then what about Phoenix? Phoenix and...
They also split.
Oh, yeah, they split. So in this situation... I believe we go to conference record.
Okay.
Because now we have two teams. We have a three-way tie, and one of them is not part of the... so maybe there is a way in which the Kings could lose the last game, tie with the Suns, but still get in because they also tie with Portland. We'd have to look at that. And as of right now, conference record, the Kings are 25-24. The Suns are 21-27, and the Trailblazers are 17-31. So if there's a three-way tie, and they all have 2-2 records against each other, I believe the Kings would be the team that advances with a 25-24 conference record. And I don't even think, Kings have a bunch of conference games left? I don't think they do. They've got...
Sacramento?
Yeah, they have the Clippers and they have...
Nuggets. Suns.
Okay, so that's not enough. That's not enough for either team to catch them.
Yeah.
The other two teams can't get to, I don't believe, can get to 25 conference wins.
Oh,
that's
so
wild.
So we have to keep an eye on the Blazers, too.
Now we do. We have to keep an eye on the Blazers because, hey, they're like the Goonies of this year's season. They never say die.
The biggest thing for tonight... The Kings need to beat the freaking Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, but we have no idea. But like this team, like
I have zero clue, and that tells you everything you need to know about the Kings.
It does.
It's April 4th, and they're in if they want to be in the play-in, they're in a must-win scenario, and they're playing the Hornets, and we're like, nah, we'll see.
We'll see.
Is anybody even playing for Charlotte? Is Charlotte even still trying?
No, they have 19 wins. I don't think Ball's playing. No.
Let's see. LaMelo Ball out for the season. Damian Ball, player they out.
Brandon Williams.
Seth Curry, probable. Taj Gibson, probable. Josh Green, out. Trey Mann, out for the season. Brandon Miller, out for the season.
Brandon Miller.
Nick Smith Jr., questionable. Mm. Grant Williams, out for the season.
You remember Nick Smith Jr. busting them up last time they played?
I sure do.
All right, I think we have to go to break.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Their top two scorers from this season are out. Ridiculous. We'll keep talking about the Western Conference. We'll take you through it. And we got to talk some baseball. The A's ducked the smoke yesterday. But we'll talk about some of that after their disastrous debut in Sacramento. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's here. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I want to talk about the Kings, and we keep talking 10 seed. I want to talk about the chances they get to the 9 seed. We'll get to that, but we need to talk a little bit of baseball.
Okay.
The Kings, as always, are going to dominate the conversation here, and it did yesterday. You guys were awesome in the chatty house and on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, sounding off on Sacramento after their abysmal loss to the Washington Wizards. Maybe the worst loss I've ever seen while following the team.
Yeah, it's up there.
I've been around since 2011. It is way, way up there in the bucket of bad losses. So because of that, we didn't talk about some of the wild stuff going on with the A's and the Giants this season. So the A's, in case you missed it, were outscored 35-9 in their three-game sweep against the Cubs. 18-3, 7-4, 10-2 were the final scores. Their starters: 13 innings, 20 hits, 15 earned, 11 walks, 11 strikeouts. Their bullpen: 14 innings, 21 hits, 16 earned, 9 walks, 13 strikeouts.
That's not good, Kyle.
Yikes. I think they're going to start hitting.
Yeah.
I'm not that. I mean, this early in a baseball season, six games in? Seven games in.
Giants are six.
Yeah, the A's are seven.
Four in Seattle. That's
in Seattle.
I'm not that concerned about wins and losses and stats, and it just, baseball is a weird thing. You need like 2 months of data before you really kind of know what direction a team is heading. So I was talking to our guy from 96.9 Eagle, Ken Anthony, yesterday, and he's like, "I thought the A's were supposed to be good. I thought you guys were saying they were going to be better this year." It's like, "Well, give it a minute." That was not a good first impression.
I think
getting outs is going to be a problem this year. I don't think it's going to be 35 runs every three-game series bad.
Yeah.
But I do think that there are going to be points in the year where their pitching staff is just kind of like this, where you're going like, dude, can you get an out?
Yeah, I kind of like, okay, so first of all, going to the game on Monday, Sacramento is not usually windy like that. Mm-hmm. It was unseasonably cold. I mean, again, during that game at my house, it snowed. So, like, it was a weird dynamic, right? Everyone mm-hmm. is so concerned about the 100-degree weather that's coming.
Yeah.
But what they didn't realize is that sometimes in the spring, it's not warm yet.
Right.
So I thought that, like, because I've been to a ton of RiverCats games, and the ball just does not fly there at all. So to watch the ball fly out of the park the way it did in those first two night games where it was cold and the wind was blowing out.
It was kind of nuts.
It was very unseasonable, like weird weather. So I'm intrigued to see what the park plays like normally. And the fact that the Cubs hit like that and the A's didn't, I don't have an explanation for you. But I kind of want to see what it looks like. I also feel like they put the wrong foot forward in their first three-game series in Sacramento. I mean, it was just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, like, looked at the ticket prices and are like, okay, I'm a little leery on what's happening here. Mm-hmm. And then to watch them just get clubbed wasn't a good look. So I think it might, like, balance the market a little bit, which is interesting.
I hope so. I don't anticipate. Now, the Padres are very good. The Padres come in next. The A's have three in Colorado, and then they come home for a series that begins on Monday against San Diego. San Diego 7-0, and they have a lot of talented players, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's going to get the ship is going to get righted that next series. But I do expect them to start playing better. So if you were thinking about going to an A's game and you're like, oh man, they just got whooped three times. No, just head back out.
Well then go for the vibes. Like you got Major League Baseball in Sacramento. I mean, it's incredible.
Totally. The National League West, speaking of the Padres, is absurd right now. The Dodgers are 8-0.
They may never lose.
They might be the Giants might win like 110 games and be a wild card team
and finish like 20 games out of first place.
Yes. The Dodgers are 8-0. The Padres step for step 7-0.
Mm.
Look at them go. The Giants are way back there at 5-1. The Giants
okay.
The Giants are 5-1. The Giants would be
so
leading.
So far behind.
They are just what are they doing?
They could.
Can
they,
you figure it out?
Yeah, for real.
They're hey, game we're in and a third. Half out.
5-1, dude. Third place.
It's ridiculous.
There's no
absurd.
Way this is what they expected. No,
absurd.
The Giants in third place in this division would be tied or leading every other division in baseball comfortably.
Yes.
That's why I'm not too worried about it.
No.
It's going to all it'll level out a little bit over the time, and the Dodgers will start losing. I promise you that.
They're going to win the NFC West sizable.
NL West.
NL West, that's what I meant.
I mean.
Or NFC, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah NL West.
We'll see where we're at in a month.
Every day.
I'm cautiously optimistic, as always.
Well, no, the Giants' pitching staff's been good. They gave up
really
four
good.
Runs on opening day. They haven't given up more than three since.
The A's pitching staff in the first four games was incredible, too.
It's a good point. The Giants have the fifth best ERA in baseball. They're fourth best in the National League behind the Padres and Dodgers and Mets. There's a real chance the Giants win like 97 games this year and are just not even close to their division.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
That's, man.
The Dodgers are going to win, like, what was their over? Like
110 and a half, I think, was their over.
That is incredible.
108 and a half, maybe? It was an absurd number.
Yes.
Anything you start getting into the hundreds with your preseason over your preseason win totals, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
They were, I think, were at 108 and a half.
That's
crazy.
Yeah,
that's a sizable
like,
chunk.
They could win 107, which would likely be the best record in the league by a couple of games. They could win 107 and hit the under. Whew. That's crazy.
Yes.
It's insane, dude. Meanwhile, the NL Central all started 2-4. And then the Twins lost yesterday, so they're 2-5 now.
The AL Central.
The AL Central, yes.
Yeah, we're all over the board.
Yes, Jesus.
That's all right.
Hey, it's early in the season for us, too. We're figuring it out.
That's right.
No, man, I just, with the A's, because you and I were both relatively high on them this year, if there was a scenario where their season went sideways, where they didn't, what did we say, 78 wins, I think, was the number we landed on?
Yeah, I think that was both of us.
Improvement over last year. If there's a scenario where they're losing 95, 96 games, it's this. It's just where there's no combination of pitchers that Mark Kotze can put together that can get enough outs. And they're going to have their games, you know, where they score 10 and give up 8 and they still find a way to win. But this is it. This is the kind of nightmare scenario where your pitching staff is giving up a ton of runs and your offense just isn't quite figuring it out where you can survive on nights where your pitching staff doesn't have it.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at their pitching staff right now, again, the first time around, they were really, really good. Their top four starters gave up a total of 3 runs over the first 4 games.
They were outstanding in Seattle.
And then they only had one guy who gave up any runs out of the bullpen. My concern is that not only do you have to get your starters right, but their bullpen is piecemealed together without real major league experience outside of like their closer, which is Mason Miller, who was a rookie last year.
Yep.
So the rest of these guys, I'm just not convinced are guys that you can rely on for 162 games,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have to wait and see how it works out.
Yeah, it's still. I'm not even going to get into the numbers yet because again, the sample size is still really, really small. We're still at the point of the season where, because the A's right now, like as a team, they have a 283 on base. They're batting 219. They're striking out less than 20% of the time, which is actually not a bad number. Their walk rate sits at like 7.8%. Again, not awesome. But if you have, if you go into Colorado and you put up a ton of runs in Colorado at Coors Field, and you have a couple of games where, you know, you crank out 12, 13, 14 hits, now all of a sudden you're moving up toward the top of the league statistically. Like, things move so much this time of year. So I'm not necessarily focused on that just yet. But I do think that coming into that series against the Cubs, and the Cubs can hit. Like, that was one of their big focuses of the offseason. They put together a really, really good lineup. 35 runs in three games is concerning.
Yeah. I mean, well, you just got bombed.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to keep the ball down.
Yeah. It was never close. That was tough.
Yeah. I don't think it was representative of the team, and I don't think it was representative of the park.
That would be tough.
I don't think it was. Like, the park itself, I don't think
it's
going to
be a bandbox.
You think so?
Yeah. I think we're in for a lot of this, especially once it warms up. I think the ball's going to fly out.
I just, like, I've watched so many River Cats games over, like, years, and it just does not feel like the ball flies out of there. Like, you very rarely see home runs. And, you know, like,
to be fair, the Giants don't have a ton of prospects who are tearing the cover off the ball.
Well, yeah, but
no offense, Joe.
They got, like, one.
You know, I'm an A's fan, so I watched the River Cats when they were the A's affiliate for years, and guys didn't come up with, like, 30, 35 home run pop. Mm-hmm. That's just not the way that park is.
Different level of baseball,
built.
Though.
No, it's true. Like, it's a different level for sure. But when you're playing against a different level of pitcher, you know, so things are kind of equal. You would expect some guys to hit home runs. I don't know. We'll see.
I guess. Wait till Torpedo Bats come back.
There you go.
They're coming. Chicago, 14 home runs this year. The A's, 11. Chicago's third in the league in home runs. The A's are tied for fourth.
Yeah, because they hit a bunch of home runs in Seattle.
Yeah, the A's hit all theirs in Seattle. Chicago hit all theirs against the A's.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I think it's probably better if there's a ton of runs being scored. The A's just got to figure out how to win. That's it.
Yep.
All right. That's where we're at for now. That's James. I'm Kyle. We'll get back into the Kings. Can they climb up to the 9 seed? Can they host a play-in game? Not if the Mavericks have anything to say about it. We'll talk about them next. Joe Brazil's also here. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. I think I said that already. I don't know. Jiffy Lube. Can we go to break now? Cool. Thanks.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.